2,000 years later, the church still carrying out what Christ called the church to do, and that is to send out our very best. And we're going to see in Acts chapter 13 that that's exactly what that church in Antioch did. They sent their best. And I hope that we think about that today as well. As we send out the Macaulays, we're sending out our best. We have great people in this congregation. Great because God is great. God is able to take people that were dead in trespasses and sins and make them alive to himself, and then put a calling upon ones, a few, to go. And we'll notice when we read this in Acts that what God did was nothing short of great for his glory. And we'll see how this is going to translate for us as well. Let's have a word of prayer before I read the scripture. Father in heaven, we thank you for the history that you have provided for us in the book of Acts to see the risen Christ working through the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring the gospel to the nations, that more people would behold the radiance of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that so many years later, we are doing that very same thing today. And we pray that you would inspire us and encourage us and help us. And I pray that you would make this day memorable for the Macaulays, that they would move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to eagerly accomplish the work, which is to make your name famous in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, part of verse 4 anyway. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. So get in mind, this is a gifted church. They have prophets and teachers in this church. There was Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And their journey began as they went from place to place to place. But they were sent on their way. They were set apart by the Holy Spirit and sent out by the congregation. But I think it's interesting, verse 4 underscores it. As much as the church sent them, it was the Holy Spirit that sent them. And so we always have to remember that this work is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that they're being called to go on, and they're sent in the Spirit and power of Christ. And I loved what Trevor said about keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Love Christ, trust him. And you can think of fixing your eyes in all different kinds of ways, but to keep your eyes on Christ. Jesus commissioned his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. You're all familiar with that. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." But to go into all the world, who's up for that? Macaulay's, remember this, the ministry that he's given you, the mission he gives you or anybody else of a ministry that comes from God that he sends you out to do is too big for you to do by yourself. You're being sent by the Holy Spirit, sent by the church, sent by the Holy Spirit to a work that's too big for you to put your arms around. And that's the way God works, that you would depend upon him. Paul said it in his ministry. These things have happened that we might not depend upon ourselves, but upon him. And I want you to remember that above all else. You're following in the footsteps of the apostles and those who have gone since then to go and preach the gospel, to bring the gospel to the nations. But what was given to these disciples, these ones that were with Jesus before he ascended to heaven, was, this is a simple command to go. And it's, you have in church history, very few people have gone. It's not been everyone that has gone to the nations, but the whole church has been involved in the ministry of the gospel to the nations. As has been said already this morning, there are those that they are, Macaulays are going, we are sending, but we owe them support and help and strength and encouragement and prayer. It has to be not only their desire to go, but our desire to send. So all through the church history, there's been a few that has the calling to go, but the whole church everywhere has the obligation to send and to equip and to make ready those that are going. Very, very important. All down through the ages of the church, Christ has been with his church. What's interesting, he didn't give a lot of details as to exactly what is that ministry to be. How should it look in the details? For the Macaulays, they're doing health, community health, basically. And you think, wow, that's part of getting the gospel to Africa. They're going to bring something, as Paul said, something to help them, to clothe them, to heal them, to strengthen their health, but they're bringing them the gospel for their souls. The church is to go into the world always being salt and light in its many different ways, but along with being salt and light is to go preaching Christ Jesus, to bring the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship will always desire to be part of ministries of missions where Christ is preached and Christ is exalted. We believe that's the first and primary work of the Church of Jesus Christ, is to make Christ known. And this is a momentous occasion for us as Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship. I just think we should really relish this moment. We're in a simple building. There's not a lot of, we don't have a great choir and organ playing, and I can't imagine that in Antioch they had much more than just some sort of a dirt hut of some sort, an adobe type of building, if they even had a gathering place aside from someone's house, and they sent out the first missionaries that went and rocked the world. They went into the world to preach. Christians had been going from Pentecost, from the day of Pentecost, preaching Christ. But never, to our knowledge, never had there been the establishment of missions in the church to take the gospel to the nations. And here we are today to say this is like the official kickoff to send the Macaulays into Zambia, Africa, to make Christ known. There are Christians that have gone there before, but why would he call the Macaulays to go, except there is a work for them to do, and not just carry on, but a fresh work that God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to do through them as they go into Zambia, Africa. And that has to be our hope, and that has to be our goal. And so we're gathered today in the Spirit of the Lord to send our dear Macaulays to Zambia. And we say to you with one primary charge, go to Zambia in the Spirit and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the people of Zambia could behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is our charter as a church, and that's what we do when we send, as we send you, to go with that same attitude, same spirit, same goal, to make Christ known in the world. And I hope that that is, you receive that as our charge to you. We want wells to be drilled, of course. We want people to receive medical care at the clinic, but we want Christ to be preached, and we know that that's your very heart in all that you do. Part of their ministry is to bring healthy initiatives into the communities that they'll reach into in Zambia. But they also, as they're doing that, they're teaching other people how to carry on that work. But while they do it, they teach about hygiene, for instance, by using Bible stories about the need for us to be clean and our soul to be forgiven, to have our sins washed away. And the only hope, the only purity comes through Jesus Christ, who is our purity and our holiness. And he is for us our righteousness. And I think that's really a powerful way that they connect the physical and the spiritual. They have a practical and a spiritual ministry, and that's how missions oftentimes work, both practical and spiritual. Paul was a tent maker to relieve the church of having to support financially. He was able to support himself, but think about it. He made tents, and those tents were helpful to people. The Macaulays go to provide health and sanitation for the people in Zambia. It's hard to believe that there's places where there is not enough clean water to drink, to feed your babies and your children and cleanse yourself, clean your bodies. But that's part of the practical ministry, and provide better health care for the people over there that have not had it. Imagine having a sick child and having nowhere to go except to a witch doctor, right? And doing that, which would be something that would be dreadful to many, many people. And to be told that the reason your child's dying is because the spirits aren't pleased. That's falsehood. It's a dark world. And when Christians go to bring medical care and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what a difference we believe it makes. We want the light to go into one of the darkest continents on the face of the earth. And the Macaulays are going there. There's a spiritual aspect of the ministry too. And that will be in the message they preach and how they proclaim it. Your greatest passion has to be Christ every day, day in and day out, to demonstrate a passion for beholding the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. People have to see that Jesus Christ is real. And as you share your lives with the people of Zambia, they will see the reality of Jesus Christ, whether they believe or not. Well, Acts chapter 13 is the dawning of the missionary movement as we know it today. And it looked a little bit different than it does today. But nevertheless, people are still being sent out. And I mentioned already, but the church in Antioch was a very gifted church. They had good leaders in that church. They had people that were prophets. And I think what we're seeing as it's written here is that the Spirit of God had gifted the church, and now they're sending out two of their best into the world. And Paul and Barnabas were being selected by the Holy Spirit. They didn't draw straws here, I guess. I don't know how they knew it, but they knew the Spirit of God had set apart these two, and the church sent them out to preach Christ. That's what they went for, to make him known to a people that didn't know him. They wanted to make Christ known to the world. Why did the Holy Spirit choose Paul and Barnabas? There's not one bit of information that tells us why the Holy Spirit chose Saul and Barnabas. It was what God wanted to do. It was according to his sovereign choice that he chose Saul and Barnabas. It was God's will. That's the main thing to remember. It was God's will. But we can ask the question, what makes a good missionary? When we look at people, what makes a good missionary? When we think of our gathering as a church body, what makes a good missionary? When you gather in your homes to have your time of encouragement, your Bible reading, and your teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can ask the question, what makes a missionary? Well, the making of a missionary can be seen in the life of Paul, for instance, in practical ways. Paul was chosen by the will of God. You say, well, what did Paul do? Paul was not setting himself up to be a missionary when he was growing up. Paul became one of the most vicious legalists that ever lived on the face of the earth. He may have made ISIS look like a bunch of sissies. But it's along those same lines where he hated the Church of Jesus Christ. And he could argue with anyone. If you or I were to face someone that was an expert in the law, just like we couldn't argue with a skilled lawyer, nobody could argue with the Apostle Paul except the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul came to realize in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, he says it. He says, when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb. He realized it was according to God's sovereign choice that he was set apart from his mother's womb. and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me for a reason, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul saw his calling as the will of God, that God had established this man himself to be a preacher to the Gentiles before he was even born. We have to believe that God does purpose who goes. A missionary is made by the will of God and by the call of God. And we see that in the Apostle Paul so clearly. Barnabas is a little different. We don't have that scripture that says Barnabas was set apart from birth. But I have to believe it's true for Barnabas as well. But his life story was a little bit different. But we do know one thing, he was set apart by the Holy Spirit. We just read it in Acts chapter 13. And it was clearly known by the church that he was set apart by the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. His name was Joseph. He was from Cyrene, or Cyprus rather, and he was, though, called Barnabas because he was such an encourager. But he was an encourager in the Lord. He was one who helped others be strong in their faith. He was inclined toward generosity. He was known for being generous, of giving of his wealth that he had acquired. Acts chapter 4, verse 37. So he had no problem giving and sharing and helping. He was discerning, because when the Apostle Paul was converted and he was in Jerusalem, the brothers in Jerusalem would have nothing to do with the Apostle Paul. They felt like they were bringing a wild, crazy dog in their midst, and they weren't going to do it. They didn't trust him. But it was Barnabas who encouraged and convinced the elders in Jerusalem to receive the apostle, or to receive Paul, as he was a true convert to the way of Jesus Christ. That was in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Barnabas was a trusted ambassador. He had a history of faithful service. He was sent by the church in Jerusalem to Antioch when the church in Jerusalem heard that several of his fellow Cyprians had come to Antioch. So go to Antioch. And they sent him there to teach the church the truth. He was trusted by the church in Antioch so much so that when they took up an offering to help the brothers and sisters that were suffering in Jerusalem, they sent both Barnabas and Saul on the mission of delivering an offering to Jerusalem. Barnabas didn't just come to this day of being set apart for missions as he just didn't come to that day as being set apart for missions as though he had never done anything in preparation before. It's been told me before by College Park, as they would look at missions, how many applications they get throughout the years of people that say, I believe I'm called to missions. Well, what are you doing to share your faith now? Well, nothing, but I believe God would give me the power to do it when I was overseas or something. And the belief was, if you can't do it here, you sure won't do it there. And so Barnabas and Paul had a track record of faithful service in the church. They were recognized as teachers and recognized as leaders within the church, able to both live with a passion for showing forth the glory of God in the face of Christ, as well as telling people about Jesus Christ and making him known. These men, Paul and Barnabas, were trusted, they were faithful, they were reliable, and they were passionate about making Christ known. Those are attributes that should mark every single Christian. Every Christian. Don't say, well, if I possess these attributes, then that means I'm going to have to go on missions. Very few people are called into missions, but every believer is being sanctified toward these very attributes, that Christ would be on display in you through being trustworthy, faithful, reliable, and passionate about making Christ known. Missionaries are made through life experience. It's God who orders and orchestrates all the experiences of life. The things that you think were probably wasted in time and left behind in memory, God used those to prepare you for service. I see an amen going on back here. That's so true. God orchestrates the life and history of His people. Paul said He even did it in the womb. I already read that. Both Paul and Barnabas were prepared for service through their life and what they did growing up. And you'd say, how could Paul have been prepared through his hatred for the church? Paul was zealous. God built in him a determination to finish a job once he started it. Paul did not know the word quit. He persevered. And that was a calling he had as a Christian when he became born again, was to persevere and to encourage the church to persevere, to go after the mission of proclaiming Christ with everything he had, was something that wasn't new to him. It's something that he had as he was in his years, even as a persecutor of the church. Paul was well educated, and that was used to the advantage of preaching the gospel. He had known the scriptures. He studied the Bible, the scriptures, and he knew the word of God. And it can also be said about Barnabas as well, is that he was a good Jewish man who knew the scriptures. He knew the Bible. If you have any desire to know Christ, any desire to thrive in your faith, you must know the Word of God. Otherwise, your Christian faith will be dull. Christ will mean nothing to you. There will be no luster on Him whatsoever. But as we see, when Paul, who had studied, and Barnabas had studied the Old Testament, when they were born again, they had eyes of faith to see the Scripture come alive. And they were passionate about making Christ known to people all over. Barnabas had learned generosity, not just as a one-time event, but it was something that marked his life. And he had learned to be sacrificial over time. And I know that in the hands of the Holy Spirit, those gifts that he had been endowed with were multiplied for the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And both Mac and Lisa have a history of preparing. Since being born again, they've purposed to prepare themselves in the event that God would call them to missions. That's called living a life with vision and with hope. There was no guarantee that they would be called to missions, but you knew you had a desire in your heart for it. Mac focused his engineering degree through his college years. He focused his engineering degree around water systems for to help low-income and impoverished peoples. How to bring clean water to poor people. People that were desperately in need for it. But to prepare yourself for the eventuality of a calling, long before you knew that it was going to be there, I think that's just a remarkable story of how the Holy Spirit worked, directing you, putting desires in your heart for His glory. Mac is going to do that very thing in Zambia. Isn't that wonderful to think about? And Lisa geared her training for her professional career as a doctor to serve impoverished families. She made a point when doing your internship, if I understand right, and your residency, to go to places, to be put in places from time to time where you had to deal with people that had very little. And that's remarkable, because she's going to do that in Zambia. And not only that, but help to establish a medical clinic that'll be there long past their being there and run by Zambians. But to see that life was orchestrated by God as they placed their lives in His hands. Both Mac and Lisa, above all, have a passion for the spiritual and physical health of the Zambian people. The physical part is evident through their education. The spiritual part is evident through their own passion for making Christ known. And that's why we send them out with the same charge that the church sent Paul and Barnabas, to send you out with a message that the world needs to hear above all else, and that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's That's why Paul and Barnabas was sent out, and I hope and trust that's why every missionary is sent out. But we can say today that's why we send you out ultimately, is to preach Christ, make Christ known to the people of Zambia. And that's where we come in, because that should be our prayer for them and all their work they do to bring sanitation and health. May the gospel be preached through the giftings that you've given them. And give the people of Zambia ears to hear and open up the hearts of some. God may not open the hearts of hundreds or thousands while you're there, but there may be one or two that receive this gospel, who become the preachers and the teachers of this gospel, who establish churches in Zambia. The work is very, very important. It may be 20 months, but there's a lot to be accomplished in 20 months. But the message is the message that won't change no matter what the circumstances are. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the mission of the church for us is to send missionaries and be passionate in our sending of them, to be diligent to encourage them, to walk with them, to communicate with them, and above all, to pray with them. As we pray, as Paul gave us the encouragement to give as well, to help support their ministry. You have every opportunity to personally do that, to offer to them your help and your support financially. And I know that Mac and Lisa would be happy to talk with you about that if you say, I'd like to support you. We also would like to do that as a church. We're going to come up with a plan that we all can agree on to do that, and we'll be doing that in the next few weeks. But we want to have us remember we're sending them out to preach Christ, to teach Christ, to make Christ known to the world. Antioch sent their best, and I hope you think that we're sending our best today. When you go to church to church to church, go knowing that we are happy and proud that we get to send you, Mac and Lisa. I think that this gives us something to build on when we think about a legacy. It would be great to have a legacy of being a church that sent people out into all the world. A church that sent our very best. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great day for us as a church. And only you know the ramifications, the benefit, the joys of it. We pray that you're pleased to send Mac and Lisa. We pray that you would prosper them as they try to raise support to go, that truly it could be said that the church sent them. We pray that you would equip us as a church to grow and move forward and to prosper in helping them and to sending them to Zambia. And we pray that all the things that have been said today would mark us as a church, and that you would provide that there could be a legacy of sending missionaries over until Christ returns. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Doug, do you have, off the top of your head, I know it's putting you on the spot, another song?
Where he leads me, I will follow.
What page is that?
It is 593.
593, so Doug, come on up.